What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 269 on this Thursday, May 7th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy here with you. It's a football recruiting Thursday. Oklahoma back on the board again in 2027. The additions just keep rolling. Samuel Nelson into the boat. Colin and I will break it down. What to know about Sam if you don't already. We'll get into all the weeds there with Oklahoma's latest addition in 2027, and they very well may not be done. A lot of activity still in 2027, a lot of new offers going out. Colin will tell us what to know about all of that in the 2027 class, and obviously 2028, the focus shifting, some new QB offers. Who could be the next guy? Jameson Roberts, the guy in 27. Who's the guy in 28? We may know. I mean, we'll find out. We'll discuss. We'll talk about it on the program today as Oklahoma beginning to really get into the weeds and get into the search for their 2028 quarterback. It's a football recruiting Thursday. Appreciate everyone being tuned in. A reminder before we get started, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60, all one word. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated and the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Take advantage. Be with us every single day over at 24/7 Sports and Sooners Illustrated. All right, CK.
Sir.
Let's get into it. Good to see you again, my friend. Last night, the first stop of the Sooner Caravan. I remember Tom and I touched on it a little bit on Monday. Ended up not being any sort of media access to it. So if you're wondering, like, did they talk to the media? They did not. That's why. But there was some interesting things coming out of that. I think Tom and I might get into a couple of interesting little nuggets coming out of it. On the show on Monday. The next stop is tonight up there in Tulsa. Did you see Brent Venables, though? Like, physically, did you see him?
The neck brace
on. The neck brace, yes. Apparently, old football injury finally caught up to him is how him and Jim Nagy joked about it. But, yeah, I'm glad they addressed it. If they just didn't say anything, it would be like, is Brent okay? Football guy, though. Yeah. Football guy. Having surgery for a football injury in his, late 50s.
Well, if we could, I could riff on this. First of all, hope Brent's okay. Looks like he's doing all right.
He's when still I saw care, man, so
when someone tweeted it out, like Brent is wearing a neck brace. I don't know why, but to your point of being a football guy, in my mind, I immediately went to Brent Venables, this image of him wearing a neck pad or like a cowboy collar, not an actual neck brace. And now I'm wondering, can we get Brent to just walk around with a linebacker style neck pad or cowboy collar? I don't know how we would get that attached to a t-shirt or something, but I am all for Brent rocking the collar, just full pad up and everything to protect himself. That would be a power move, in my opinion.
I'm on board with it 100%. But that was one of the biggest news of the thing. Was like, whoa, is Brent all right? Seems to be, he was joking around about it. Obviously, the joke he made was that he got into an NIL fight. I don't know what that means or what goes down in an NIL fight or why he injured his neck. But I'm intrigued by it. I like the idea of it. So the Sooner Caravan rolling on. It was in OKC last night. They're in Tulsa tonight. So any T-Town viewers on the show that are getting out there, let us know. Hit us up. How does it go? OKC next week down in your neck of the woods, down in Dallas. I think they're also.
I think I'm gonna go. I think it's at the Rustic in Dallas.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I might go. I see tickets are like $35.
Yeah. Tom and I kicked it around last night because we thought we would go from a media aspect. There ended up not being anything on the media end, so we're kind of like, but it's a cool thing. When they did it 4 years ago, I was at a couple of them, and it's a cool thing. Cool thing for the fans. And it's, it's Porter, Jim Nagy, new AD Roger Danny's out there, and then both basketball coaches as well. So it's a cool event. If you're a fan, you go out there, it's like usually a bar and something. It's a cool thing. So,
yeah. I mean, if there are OU fans that end up going to the one in Dallas next week, reach out to us, let us know. Maybe I can link up with some folks.
Yeah.
Out there and say what's up. I just have to convince the wife that spending, $70 on an OU event, as she is an OU fan, is justifiable. But
yeah,
I'm curious. It looks like it's been pretty cool. Hey man, if Brent really is the linebacker doctor as he claims himself to be, let's treat those medical issues like a linebacker. Get the pad on.
Yeah, no doubt. So Cool thing going on there. Obviously, a lot of Oklahoma locked in on the Thunder game one on Tuesday night against the Lakers. Did you see Ja Matir in attendance on Tuesday? Daniel Akinkunmi was with them. They both wore the shirt, which is, you know, you got to wear the shirt. And the fact that they got one UK Dan that fit was nice. They helped him out.
Your tweet went viral with those two in the picture. I saw it's like 1,000+ likes. And I've always forget that the wear the shirt bit is a thing until it's this time of
year. You got it. Don't be that guy, man. Nobody likes that guy messing up the blue, the all blue, the blue out. It's like the ocean.
Wear the shirt.
Wear the shirt. Wear the shirt. So everyone, it's just good vibes right now. It's obviously in the month of May. Not a whole lot going on the football side with the current team. There is plenty going on the recruiting side, though, as this is that time of year where it starts to really ramp up. And we've had plenty to talk about on these Thursday shows for the last several weeks. And we have more to get into today because they're back on the board in 2027 again, Colin. And this is a guy that we've talked about quite a bit over the last month or two, at least, maybe longer than that. In Samuel Nelson, 2027 edge rusher, Bryant, Arkansas, obviously younger brother of Matthew Nelson, who is a signee in 2026 for Oklahoma, also in that defensive end room under Miguel Chavis. Colin, I mean, this you know, we talked about it. You know, he's been a regular name that's come up as one that we kind of felt like this probably could or might happen soon, or, you know, realistically, and it finally did late last week. Just get into the pickup, how it happened, what role the Matt – I mean, does he want to just play with his brother? How much influence that had? I got to figure it had a pretty good influence. Just all of it as yet another pickup for Miguel Chavis, and he pairs him with Crew Jones. They may not be done on the edge, but obviously a really fun combo with him and Crew Jones there in 27. But Oklahoma on the board again with Samuel Nelson late last week.
Yeah, let's talk about the recruitment here. I'll get into the player in a second, but just talking about how this thing came together, I felt it very apparent whenever Sam Nelson released his spring plans that this was going to be decided by the end of May. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being decided, if I remember correctly, Thursday night. What was that, April, the last day of April, the first day of May at like 10:30 at night. Kind of out of the blue, but I think you start with the fact that obviously Oklahoma was one of the first to offer Sam Nelson. I mean, his first offer was Central Arkansas. Second ever offer comes from the SEC, from the Power Four, from the Oklahoma Sooners. And I don't think it's any secret as well that OU chose to invest in a Sam Nelson's recruitment around the same time that they were really pursuing Matthew Nelson, his older brother, as well. And so that early investment kind of set the tone. It put OU out in front of the race. And I mean, when you're the second ever offer, the first in the Power Four, I mean, it's going to be hard to catch up in the race. And as time went by, let's kind of fast forward to the time frame that I was talking about earlier. We get into this range of the spring, and Sam Nelson releases his full kind of visit schedule back in January or February. And it was like, hey, going to go to Florida State, going to go to Arkansas, going to go to Oklahoma twice. I believe he had a couple of trips with the Razorbacks scheduled, a couple of trips with Oklahoma scheduled. FSU maybe had one on the slate as they were newer to the mix. But then as time goes by, you're like, okay, well, Sam Nelson, he's visiting Arkansas multiple times. He's scheduled to visit Oklahoma multiple times. FSU, the only official visit he had booked was Oklahoma in mid-June. And when that whole slate comes out, you're looking at it going, this feels like Sam Nelson basically saying, hey, to every other program in the country, you have until the end of this spring for me to justify booking another OV and exploring other options besides Oklahoma. And through that context, in my eyes, I was like, I am on the ready for this to be decided before that June OV really is a thing. It felt like he had that on the books in the event he'd showed up as an OU commit. So he obviously shows up a few weeks ago, if it was Future Freaks, if I remember correctly, when all the 27 guys were in town. That goes well. Florida State ends up not being a trip. He does not end up exploring the Seminoles as an option. And so with them out of the mix, it really came down to Arkansas and Oklahoma. And Arkansas was going after him, but then some mixed reviews as far as to what actually took place as far as his trip to Arkansas for the Razorback spring game. I'm not entirely sure that he ended up making it out there. There's some mixed reviews on that front. Mm-hmm. But once that kind of discourse started to take place, I mean, it felt like this had been decided for a while. And so it, you know, as you and I talked about it off camera and behind the scenes for a while, I was ready to go for weeks. I felt like out of Future Freaks weekend, it was a matter of time. Well, Miguel Chavis, now that we're in this contact period, goes out there to Bryant, Arkansas to meet with Sam Nelson and his family. They have dinner. They spend a lot of time together. And Sam Nelson basically ends up saying, hey, I'm done. It's over. And that night is when he kind of put out that unorthodox commitment tweet at 10:30. So kind of a really cool process that shakes out. Obviously, it falls in the Sooners' favor, but good on Oklahoma for identifying this guy early and understanding this is more than just a brother connection type of recruit. And I think that in the end, Sam Nelson basically said, these other schools have about from January to March, April, May to convince me of thinking otherwise. And he sticks to his guns and ends up going with Oklahoma.
I always kind of enjoy, like you kind of joked about, the guys who just 10:30 at night on a Thursday, I'm doing this now. Like I want
no edit.
Just felt it, you know. And look, don't get me wrong, I appreciate every player who sets a time and does it with us at 24/7 CBS or whatever. Like obviously we love having anyone who does that with us, but just something just kind of blue collar about like I'm just gonna do a photo dump and like I'm, you know, I appreciate it from Samuel Nelson on Thursday night at like 10:30 at night. But Colin was ready because Colin's on top of all this stuff. Like you said, you were ready to go on this for a while. And it just felt like all roads were going to lead here. Just the way it seemed and based off what you were just saying with the visits to Florida State, Arkansas, like it just all roads wound up with Sam coming to Oklahoma. Let me ask you just about the pairing with Crew Jones and like the player and you know, because us, we talk about Crew a lot. He's guy that, you know, OU's very excited about and for good reason. We talked about it, I think, last week. Like, there's still potential to maybe add another edge to this group. But even as it stands now, with Nelson and Jones as your two guys in 27, just what do you like about that pairing in Nelson the player? Obviously, 6'3", 225. He's really long. I mean, it's an exciting proposition. You like what they have there for Miguel Chavis and that 27 group right now.
I think one of the big, not necessarily challenges, that's poor phrasing, but one of the big objectives for Oklahoma through the remainder of the cycle was, all right, everything that they have poured into the recruitment of Crew Jones, investment-wise, effort-wise, all that stuff, that was their guy at defensive end. Get that done. How do you supplement the class around a cornerstone in their eyes, like somebody of Crew Jones? That caliber of player is going to attract other talents, but it's also obviously that you've got to start slotting things accordingly. And I think for as long as I can remember, it was always, all right, you know, Sam Nelson just makes a lot of sense. Sure. And as OU continued to pursue him, I think that it number one, it's a really quality pairing because you're getting a really good player who you are able to leverage your relationships with into a commitment. And there was less of a headache in trying to fill another spot opposite of Crew Jones. And I think when you look at Sam Nelson himself, you kind of touched on it, which is a good point. Sneaky length for someone. I mean, he's 6'3", 225 pounds, but the growth potential here is noticeable, plus wing and fun player at the point of attack. High motor guy can kind of, you know, Gabe Brooks, one of our scouting analysts, noted it, can punch above his weight at the POA, and he gets after it. Pretty solid in pursuit. just a high effort, high motor, and a very solid presence at edge. And you pair him with somebody like a Crew Jones who can just, he can do it all. Really quality duo. It makes a lot of sense why Miguel Chavis was very high on the idea of pairing these two guys together. And they're hunting for a third, too. So Nelson brings a lot to the table. Certainly Crew Jones does the same. And together, now Oklahoma can be really picky about who it wants to round out the trio.
We mentioned the 10:30 photo dump, no edit. Also fully appreciate, I was just kind of double-checking the tweet stuff, that Sam's at on Twitter/X is just Sam N Football. I love it. No nonsense, no frills. Dude, just about ball, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, yeah. What I love, I think you have the tweet handy. In this commitment announcement tweet, I believe Miguel, it's like a blurry picture of Miguel Chavis with his eyes closed at dinner or something. And it's just like, we weren't even bothering with like the dulled up edited pictures. There's like Miguel Chavis sitting at a table with his eyes closed. It's fantastic work on Sam's part.
It's an awesome group of photos. Miguel Chavis is in all of these photos. It's great. It's awesome. And yeah, I mean, just a perfect pairing. And obviously it goes with his younger brother, Matthew, who's a guy that is, you know, someone that very excited about in the current crop as a freshman this year. And so just good all around. So nice addition there. Like you said, still potentially more on the edge to come. And in the defensive line in general, kind of start there as we kind of spin it forward. You know, 21st guy is Nelson in the class in 27. But they're still active. I mean, this class, you know, we've, you know, kind of been talking about it for the last month or two, like the focus shifting to 28. And it is, but also like they're still firing out new offers in 27. There's still positions that they'd like to add to. Start there on the defensive line. And there's some other ones I know you want to bring up as well, but they're sending out new offers. Like they're not just kind of resting back. Like they're still actively searching for and identifying guys that would make sense for them in the current cycle, as well as obviously putting a lot of a focus on 28 as well. So dive into that, especially on the defensive line, like you kind of teased there.
I think let's start with that defensive line. Obviously, one of the primary goals for OU moving forward is finding probably one more defensive lineman for this class. Mm-hmm. Maybe two. I feel like that would be a little bit of a stretch unless Oklahoma ends up very convicted in a couple of evaluations. But we know the Uwila Wolf Grahams and, sure, and so on and so forth. Oklahoma offered a defensive lineman from the Pacific Northwest, which is intriguing. So Josh Christensen from the state of Oregon ends up getting the call, 6'6", 250 pounder, big body, who plays as a defensive end primarily in an odd front, so three down linemen. Has the ability to play as a defensive end, has the ability to probably kick inside at the next level as he continues to grow. So a bigger, more versatile body compared to maybe a Uwila Wolf Graham, who's more of a traditional edge.
Sure.
The Miles Smiths of the world that they were pursuing, who's tall and long, but maybe a little bit more room to grow. Christensen has the ability to potentially play defensive end or maybe even tackle. Now, they offer him. We'll see if he ends up making it to campus this summer. He is kind of someone who has seen his stock explode over the last couple of months to even weeks. So Oregon offers, Washington offers, Nebraska just offered, Oklahoma certainly in that mix as well. I know a number of other programs were going after him, Utah, Illinois, Washington State, Northwestern, so on. Interesting new target for Oklahoma in terms of Christensen, because what Todd Bates and Miguel Chavis could potentially partner up and sell to this guy in terms of versatile defensive line development. That said, it's going to be tough, especially if Oregon and Washington press to sell somebody like this who's from that part of the country on moving all the way down to Norman. So Oklahoma entering an intriguing recruiting battle there.
Yeah. Selfishly, I would like to see him, you know, visit and line it up with a camp, because I'd like to see him move around. I mean, 6'6", 250 is what we have him at on his profile on 24/7 Sports. Like, that's a big edge. And like you said, he maybe go inside. It'd be nice just to see kind of how he moves a little bit. That's a fun one, though. It's an interesting guy. And like you say, he's got a very interesting offer list, considering that he's in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon. He's got a lot of Big Ten offers, which, I mean, it makes sense because they're in that, you know, the Big Ten is involved in that area now with Washington and Oregon. But it's an interesting kind of group of offer list. But he's got a lot of Power Fives. I mean, it's, you know, an intriguing name there. I'm very curious to see what he looks like and where he would end up playing at the next level, if it is at OU or wherever. But yeah.
So Christensen is one of a few different offers. I'm not going to talk about all the new 27 offers here on the show. We'll probably continue to unpack them as time goes on. But the other big one that I wanted to tackle, Josh mentioned it, they're at 21 commits, could have been 22, but they lost Jackson Stokes at running back to Cal. A new offer is now out. So TJ Lewis, who is from the state of Illinois at Bolingbrook High, got the offer. Dylan McCullough, this is his first official offer as Oklahoma's running backs coach, at the very least in 27. TJ Lewis is a very interesting one. So I can't remember if we've already talked about him on the show.
I think we did. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So the latest here is that Oklahoma is pressing for an official visit. Indiana, Michigan, OU, a few others as well. Obviously, we talked about him getting the offer, but it does sound like Oklahoma is going to try to fight for him to get on campus in June. I have heard that, you know, TJ might be bumping an official visit or two in favor of Oklahoma, and I think the Sooners are going to at least give this a shot. I still think kind of how I was earlier on this. Still think Indiana's in a good spot. I've heard a lot of things about Michigan. But yeah, the latest there is that not only has the offer been sent out, Oklahoma's going to fight for an OV from this guy and continue to pursue. The other thing that I kind of wanted to touch on in general is just, you know, to the question, what's left to add to the class? Oklahoma's sending out new offers at defensive back, at offensive line, at wide receiver. We'll see it on the wideout front, but Oklahoma has a new offensive tackle offer out. Gus Corsair, former longtime target, is officially headed to Oregon as of today.
Yeah.
So that now is officially going separate directions. But I do think that OU is willing and open to adding another offensive lineman to this class. And then I think the big one is DB. So I had a story up not too long ago at Sooners Illustrated about a 2027 defensive back and wide receiver that I think is kind of flying under the radar in terms of Oklahoma's pursuit of this recruit. That story is up on the site. So again, Sooners Pod 60, go check it out. There are some other newer names into the race. One name I wanted to bring up here on the show. So Brandon Sherrard is a defensive back out of a program I'm very familiar with, Shadow Creek in the greater Houston area. Sherrard got the offer. I believe it was Lamar Morgan who went out there to extend the opportunity to Brandon Sherrard. Sherrard is one that we'll see what kind of noise Oklahoma can make. For the longest time, it has been the likes of LSU, Texas, Penn State, Miami, Arizona State. Like, this is a guy that's very established. He's a four-star for us, top 190 guy at 184 overall. So Sherrard is someone that they might be set to pursue a DB. We'll see what comes from it, but offensive line, safety, receiver, going to be the big ones. We've talked about the targets that they've had on the board in the past, and we'll continue to do so moving forward as we get closer to actual OV season stuff, but at the very least, some things to consider, especially as Oklahoma starts adding newer names to the board.
No, it's definitely interesting. I mean, because, you know, again, we kind of have thought 27 kind of winding down, but it's all of a sudden like there's been this kind of flurry of activity. And Brody Lusk, who I talked about on Monday, we added him to the fold. He's off to an awesome start. He's been providing tons of content. You know, he's had some reporting on Trevon Hall. And so you mentioned wide receiver. You know, he'd taken some visits. Nothing definitive there as far as like, you know, to worry anyone. But, you know, something you have to think about. And when you talk about wide receiver, maybe looking to make another addition there. And, you know, they just have the one safety, right, with Scott right now. So, I mean, it's a really good class. Obviously, it's still number one for us. I always say that's still number one at 24/7 Sports. But doesn't mean you can't still make some more additions to kind of firm it up a little bit more and add some depth at some spots. So still some work to be done there in 2027 and some interesting names to keep in mind as new offers continuing to roll out, which obviously would suggest to me that they are not – I don't want to say not content because that implies that, like, they're not happy with what they have, but like they want to add more. It's not just like you get them cool. I mean, when you're going out identifying new players and sending out offers, that certainly sends the signal of like, no, we want to add some more. Like, you know, so interesting stuff there in 27 still.
Yeah, I think, man, you know, it's going to be very fun to see what these OV weekends look like.
I agree.
I think that the natural question some people who are watching or listening are going to have is, well, when do all these guys start getting to campus? I know that there's been some talk of the final weekend of May, so we will have that covered. You know, June 12th to 14th is kind of seemingly the big weekend that's being circled right now. We'll see what June 6th looks like. I don't think that Oklahoma really wants to load up towards the later portion of June. I think that they would like to be pretty much wrapped up by the middle of June. With that in mind, I think Oklahoma, with all these new offers going out, is going to be working very hard to get these guys on campus in the very near future. So the next couple weeks of May, we're going to continue to get these names out there and familiarize you guys with these recruits. But obviously, Oklahoma's kind of doing the same thing too right now.
Yeah.
And I think the official visit stuff, like, it'll be here before you know it. And I feel like, to your point, there may not necessarily be a ton of names out there, but it feels like they're setting it up to go all in on 6, 7, 8 cats that they would really like to add to this top-ranked class.
Definitely interesting next couple of months to see how this class kind of starts to really round into shape. The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break. Let's back up to 2028 before we get out of here. Ben Arbuckle got his guy in 26 in Bo Bentley. Yeah, he got his guy in 27 in Jameson Roberts. They're starting to find who the guy might be in 2028. A couple of new quarterback offers sent out in the last week. Colin, I'll just tee you up there. I mean, what interests you about the names that they have offered? Obviously, bring up the names, who they are, where they're from, that sort of thing. But early stages, but, you know, we talk about it since we've been doing the show. You know, we've been around as Sooners Illustrated for a few years now. Usually quarterback is one of the first ones you get, right? I mean, Jameson Roberts and Bo Bentley were kind of unique circumstances in that regard. Typically, you get the QB pretty early and build out from there. 2028, you had a couple offers out. Where do things kind of stand? What are some of these names that are intriguing you as Oklahoma, you know, kind of looks at some signal callers in 2028?
Yeah, I think that the overall theme here is obviously a lot of people are on the edge of their seats waiting to see what Oklahoma was going to do in 2028. I mean, everyone had been asking, all right, well, what's kind of the latest here? And Oklahoma was playing it patiently, and two offers go out, and it's kind of unique choices, to be quite honest with you. I obviously Oklahoma's a national brand and it recruits all over the country, but I would probably say less traditional areas to go after quarterbacks specifically for OU.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you start. I think that you begin with Brady Quinn from Hollywood, Florida. Hollywood is a part of the country that Oklahoma has had well, let's just say a big name, but that was wide receiver, JUCO, all that good stuff. And Brady Quinn, first of all, not related to the actual Brady Quinn, even though that is just
– it would probably have a junior on there, if so.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, but it is weird, too, because I know the actual Brady Quinn does, you know, stay around Florida. I believe he has a place out there.
Sure.
And so when the offer or when this guy started coming up onto the recruiting scene, I initially was like, huh, it's am I really that old? You know, but no relation. He may have been named after the Brady Quinn that people know. I don't know that for 100% certainty, but I've seen that floated out there.
Sure.
This guy is interesting. 6'1", 195 pounds from Chaminade, Madonna. Has been to a couple of other high schools in his career to this point, is now making the move over to Chaminade, Madonna, which is a really quality program in the state of Florida. And, I mean, a number of other programs already after this guy. Alabama, Miami, Kentucky, SMU, Indiana, Purdue, all kind of hovering around. It's, again, ironic that Notre Dame, I don't believe, has offered Brady Quinn, but Notre Dame is interested in Brady Quinn.
Mm.
And the read that I've gotten is that if Notre Dame were to offer Brady Quinn, that Notre Dame might end up getting Brady Quinn, which is a wild sentence.
It's trying to confuse us. Yeah.
Time is a flat circle, I've seen people say. But Oklahoma ends up making the move here, and I'm curious to see what OU can do with him. The other quarterback target that has been officially added to the mix, which is a guy I'm very interested in. How about New Jersey?
I know. Yeah.
I was not expecting Oklahoma to say.
Have they ever had a QB from New Jersey ever?
Ever. I mean, I would be curious when the last, I mean.
Just player?
Yeah.
There's probably one super obvious one that we're forgetting, but
where I mean, was Logan Allen from out that way? I can't even remember. Now I'm going down this random rabbit hole.
I love his name.
I mean, Logan Allen was from the state of New Jersey.
Okay,
from well, the there you go. School. So maybe this is the first potential since him, but the quarterback we're talking about is Trey Tagliaferri.
Great name.
Great name. 6'1", 190 pounds, 89 player grade for us at 24/7 Sports, which is a strong three-star rating. Another guy that Notre Dame has yet to offer, but I believe has shown some interest. He told me in the story that I put up at 24/7 Sports that Alabama, Penn State, Texas A&M, I know he visited Texas A&M recently, Ole Miss, Illinois, all hovering in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know Texas is set to bring him in on a visit at the end of May. Texas has not offered him, but I think he's going to camp there and potentially get the offer. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is a guy that shows up in Norman either, to be quite honest with you, for one of those prospect camps. Gets the Oklahoma offer, and it was Coach Kusieski who actually went out on the road, which has been cool to see a lot of these OU staffers with the expanded travel rules get to go hit the road. Coach Kuz watched Tagliaferri throw in person out in New Jersey and ended up making the move and extending the offer. And he Tagliaferri said it in the story that I wrote, and I encourage folks to read it because it was great. He said, Coach Kuz doesn't really have to do that much to pitch Oklahoma. I mean, it's Oklahoma football. Mm-hmm. So, guy that likes Baker Mayfield, guy that understands the quarterback track record at OU. Both of these guys, again, unique choices out of the gate in terms of quarterback offers, but now that they're on the board, we'll be monitoring them moving forward. And I should say at the end, I am expecting both of these guys to be in Norman sometime over the next few weeks. That's getting worked out, but both of these guys are probably going to visit. So keep an eye out because we'll probably be talking about them a lot more here between May and June.
Yeah, both are fun guys to look at. Both, you know, similar body types, 6'1", 190 range. Tagliaferri especially, you know, he's popping off. Just mm-hmm. since January 31st, Alabama offer, A&M, Penn State, obviously OU, Auburn, Georgia just the other day. I mean, Stanford in there, North Carolina in there. I mean, he's catching some serious buzz right now. So, fun names to keep an eye on. Like you said, not – I don't know. They feel a little different than what we're used to. I mean, not to put you on the spot too much because these guys are brand-new offers. Do they remind mm-hmm. either one? They don't seem like they're of the Bo Bentley – Mateer archetype that Arbuckle has had in his early tenure here.
Yeah. I mean, it's unique because I think that Bo with his athletic background was a very unique case. And Bo is pretty sturdy in terms of the build mm-hmm. and was it like a dynamic playmaker through the air and on the ground. And Jamison Roberts, just a really talented mobile athlete who has also really evolved as a passer and is really productive through the air.
Sure.
And so I think what fascinates me about these guys is both Bo Bentley and Jamison Roberts are talented passers, but we know how much the plus one quarterback run game is important to Ben Arbuckle's system. Like that, being able to run the ball in the design game is part of this offense. And why wouldn't you if you've got the guys do it?
Yeah.
It puts defenses in a bind. Quinn and Tagliaferri, I'm excited to dive into them more because I'm curious to continue to learn just how capable they are
sure.
in both facets of that. Tagliaferri seems like a very polished passer. Quinn, another one who I don't know that they're necessarily the kind of guys that like jump off the paper as you at like, all right, let's call quarterback power and let these guys get downhill and go, where I think Bentley and Roberts a little bit more clearly capable. But these are 2028s, so we're going to continue to learn more about their athletic evolution. And I should say, too, you mentioned, you know, great names, really interesting names, very interesting names with Brady Quinn and Trey Tagliaferri. I mean, you went all name team right out of the gate.
I can picture for Tagliaferri, like what number to go with it on the OU uniform would play the best. He needs a double digit, I think.
He looks like a 12. He strikes me as 12. That. I believe that's the number he wears in high school.
I was thinking, yeah, I could see that. I was thinking like definitely a double digit, like a 17 maybe even. Let's get real high up there. Fun stuff. Always fun to talk quarterbacks. And obviously, you know, names that we'll continue to touch base on, I'm sure, a lot over the however long, summer and into for a while until obviously Oklahoma finds their guy. But
can I throw one more thing out here?
Yes, please.
Speaking of quarterbacks, so Oklahoma made a 2029 quarterback offer. Did you see this?
I don't think I did.
We waited for very long to see what they were going to do in 28. They wait and wait, and they pull the trigger on two 2028 guys, and then boom, 2029 quarterback offer on the board. Logan Lucero from down in my neck of the woods in Dallas at Parish Episcopal High. Josh, this is a 2029 guy, self-report, 6'3", 220 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Georgia, Tennessee, Michigan, Arkansas, TCU, did I say Auburn, Texas Tech? I mean, it blew my mind that in the middle of these 2028 quarterback offers, Logan Lucero from Parish Episcopal just casually puts it out there, hey, 2029, I got my offer from Oklahoma. Shocking development that made me feel even older with the whole Brady Quinn saga.
I mean, shoot, throw your hat in the ring. If he's got offers like that, he's probably pretty good. Going to be a sophomore in high school. It's ridiculous.
Did I say Ole Miss? Ole Miss offered him? Like, what is going on right now?
Unbelievable. Yeah, you get the Notre Dame in there earlier. I don't did you say Michigan? I got Michigan on his profile as well.
I think I said Michigan, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Auburn, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas Tech. I mean,
his profile has Baylor.
His first offer was from Utah. If Utah is like, you can play,
yeah,
I'm in.
Well, if he ends up being the guy in 2029, can say you were in early. Be like, hey, I mentioned it back in the May of 26 that this guy was going to be something. So you were on it early. You're on it early. I think that's it. We'll be back, obviously, next week. Tom and I on Monday will wrap up Diamond Sports. We'll have the softball NCAA tournament bracket. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. Hoops portal, that sort of thing. And like I said, we might wrap up a little bit some of the Caravan stuff a little bit maybe as well. We'll dabble potentially. Colin, I'll be back next week. Plenty more recruiting stuff to get into. It's been busy and will likely continue to be. And so we'll have more to get into, I'm sure, next Thursday. But I think that's it for now, my guy. And yeah, press on.
Yeah, man. It's kind of weird. Obviously, it's busy, but it's a lot of like contact period stuff right now, and it feels like everyone's kind of holding their breath. You know, we'll probably wait a couple of weeks, and then OV season and camp season will be here before you know it, man.
Oh yeah,
I'm already chomping at the bit. You know, I've been talking to some of my guys at SMU. Like the big Dallas mega camp is coming up at the end of this month, and that'll be the first. I think it'll be the first weekend for OVs for Oklahoma as well on like May 30th. It's going to be awesome, you know, and I'm looking forward to it and bringing it all over over the next couple of weeks.
No doubt. No doubt. I think that's it for now. For Colin Kennedy and Josh Cowell, we'll be back on Monday. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.